pray with me. Father, we thank you that there's no other name under heaven whereby men and women can be saved but the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, there's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. We do that now and then and say hallelujah in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message for this afternoon is The Right Choice. The Right Choice. There's an article about a week ago that spoke to the topic that I've been covering. I've been talking about marriage. Well, marriage is one of the institutions that has originated in the Garden of Eden, and I have been talking about how Satan attacks the institutions that have come out of the Garden of Eden, the Sabbath, the state of the dead, and so we have been talking about marriage and Satan's attack on marriage. I'd like to read some of the article. It says this: thanks to Facebook, more people are hooking up, I'm quoting, with long-lost crushes. Facebook makes it easier for you to take the first step of finding someone again. This new trend is called by the Boston Phoenix retrosexual. Now, that's a new word. I've heard of the other words, but retrosexual is a new one. And it means for people who are taking the plunge into recycled love. The last sermon that I preached, "Would You Still Love Me If You Knew Me?" We said that Satan attacks the physical. He attacks our health. He attacks closeness. He always has us getting sick. We also talked about that we, according to 1 Corinthians 7 and verses 1 through 5 and verses 10 through 16, that we should have affection one for another. And this passage in 1 Corinthians says that after we fast and pray, that we ought to come back together. And if we don't, then Satan can tempt us because of self-control or the lack of it. I was glad that the Bible put it that way because I probably couldn't have got away with saying it that way myself. But it's a direct quote from the Bible. And in our previous messages, as we've talked about marriage, we gave a text that I want you to remember, Ephesians 4:26. And I would ask you if anybody remembers the gist of Ephesians 4:26, because it's a passage that I don't want you to ever forget, because it's a passage that'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. And maybe someone can give me the gist of that passage. Ephesians 4:26. Anyone? Not what does that's exactly right. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, your version might say, and the premise is exactly right. Don't go to bed angry. And I found it does me no good because my wife just go right on off to sleep. And I'm probably angry that she's sleeping because I stay awake. So that's a good verse for me. Doesn't do me any good to go to bed angry. Keep us out of a lot of trouble if we would adopt that text. And then we talked in one of the sermons about a text that is found at least three times in the scripture, the exact same passage, one quoted by Moses, the other by Jesus, and the other by Paul. Some of you might remember. Do you any of you remember that text that I talked about? Give you a hint. It's found in Genesis. Genesis 2 and verse 24. The same passage is in Matthew 19:5 and in Ephesians 5:31. Anyone tell me what that passage is? In Genesis 2:24? Anyone? That's right. That's exactly right, Bev. We are admonished to leave father and mother and cleave unto our wife, and the two shall be, how many flesh, everybody? The Bible says one flesh. That passage is in there three times, and Paul, at the end of that passage in Ephesians 5, says, this is a great mystery, and I speak concerning Christ and the church. And then I said in the previous sermons that as soon as we hear the message of one flesh in marriage, soon as that's said in the ceremony, we face the challenges of differences and problems of uncoupling. Now, I would not want you to leave with that sermon on your mind and that's it. This is the answer to it. And in fact, it would be a mistake to think because of the tension that we have as joining together as couples that it doesn't matter who I select as a mate. So I've entitled the message, The Right Choice. There is a right choice. And I'd like to talk about that this afternoon. One child talking about love had this to say. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend you hate. That's a six-year-old's idea. There's some wisdom in there if you can extrapolate out of that. I know it's a little different when you says start with a friend you hate. That doesn't quite go along, but there is something in there that I want you to remember. I'd like to have you just remember, if you would, the passage in Luke, the 17th chapter, and verses 11 through 19. Very familiar passage to us. I'm not going to exegete the passage. Just because in the interest of time, you're familiar with the story, but there is something in the story that I think speaks to the right choice as I talk about choosing the right person, choosing the right mate. Now, when we read the story of Luke chapter 17, only one came back of the ten. Only one seemed to have the sufficient cultural grace to come back and say, thank you, Lord. Now, there's something in there that we need to know. And it speaks volumes about the kind of characteristics you want to look for in a mate. Many relationships break down because of the want of little expressions of affections and appreciation that we no longer get in our relationships. Some of it have to do with how we've been brought up, environmental issues, and they can wreak havoc in our relationships as we try to become one flesh. I want to share with you just for a moment, what is the right choice? Are there things we should look for in a mate? When we hear the sermon by the pastors, as they ask us about the marriage, the vows, one of the words that comes up is the word cherish. That's a key word in marriage ceremony, the word cherish. Now, in the Greek, we hear the word love. It's the word agape. Most of us are familiar with that word. But there's another word we don't talk about enough, and that Greek word is phileo. That is a word for love also. And I would ask you in your spare time to look up the writer John when he speaks of himself. It's a number of times he speaks of himself in terms, and you'll find it in John 19:26, John 20 and verse 2, and John 13 and verse 23. He uses the term the disciple whom Jesus loved. You know what word he uses there? It's phileo. It's a friend. That's how he likens himself to Jesus. And in fact, what when Jesus is on the cross and his mother, guess who she goes with? John, his friend. That's the word that is used, friend. And that word in the original, it's the love for a cherished friend of either sex. So I think you know where I'm getting at. The right choice is someone who has a friendly disposition. That's what you need to look for. Someone who has a friendly disposition. In fact, in Titus chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4, older women are counseled to talk to the young women about having phileo love for their husband and their children. Friendship, cherish, affection for their spouses and for their children. When you're looking for a mate, make sure that person has a friendly disposition. In fact, I'll give you a hint. Make sure, male or female, find out if they have any friends. If they have no friends, your antenna ought to go up. Male or female? It doesn't have to be a lot of friends, but they ought to have a friend. It would probably suggest the possible behavior pattern worthy of closer study if they have no friends. And if they have no friends and they're trying to enlist you, there's a good chance that you will be controlled for the rest of your life. Or you don't have to say amen, but it's true. You see, God made us naturally gregarious. We should like to be with people. You want to marry somebody who has a social outlook, who is socially desirable. You don't want to marry Mr. and Mrs. Hermit. Y'all don't have to say amen, but it's true. The normal desire is for people to be with people. There's an author that has written a book, How to Find the Love of Your Life. And he says some interesting, he says there's nobody, and you have to get this, nobody is self-sufficient. Now, I struggle with this. And I've shared this with you before. I'm the kind of person, I'll do it myself. If you don't want to do it, then I won't enlist you to do it. I've always been that way. That's an independent streak that has kept me in trouble. Because I cannot have you do it. If you don't want to do it, I will not enlist you to do it. In fact, I'm the kind of person that if there was a heavy object to move, if at all possible, if I could move it myself, I would. But you know, that's something dangerous about that. There should be somebody you can call to help you move that object. It is. There should be somebody who you don't have to pay. I'm serious. It could be my thinking about ministry. I don't have a lot of that. And my wife would testify that I don't have many friends. Oh, but I didn't say that for you to feel bad. I really didn't say that. But I'm making a point. Be careful of that. Everybody needs somebody. You want to make sure if you find a mate that they know some people. They have friends somewhere. That's the first right choice. Three basic ways to deal with people, this author says. Number one, you can take what you need by force, threats or intimidation, or try to outsmart people. You can get people that way. That's not a good idea, because that's exactly how the devil does. That's not a way to deal with people. Threats, intimidation by force, outsmarting. That's what the devil does. Number two, in dealing with people, you could become a human relations beggar. You can beg people till they give you what you want. That's what we teach our children, unfortunately, to do. I'm amazed at parents that fall for that. Kids will say something 100 times until you give in. And I'm amazed at how many parents give in. And we are making our children human relations beggars. And they beg enough, they'll get it. We need to stop that. We're crippling our children. Oh, let me get off of that. Let me move on. Oh, adults do it too. We do it. You know the way we do it? I won't assert myself and cause any trouble if you're nice to me. Oh, you don't have to say amen. It goes on all the time. Number three, you can operate on the basis of fair exchange, give and take. You give others what they want and need, and invariably they'll come around and give you what you need. That's this author's theory on the basic ways of dealing with people. There's another, and I'll tell you at the end. The next right choice after finding someone with a friendly disposition, you're talking about what we wanted to make sure that the person you choose, and some of you have heard me say this before in another sermon, is generous. What did I say, everybody? Generous. I want to say, and I would say it right up front, and I mean it with all my heart. This is the thing that I'll miss most about the church. It's the thing that I'll miss most. This is a generous church. And I guess I know it from because I sitting on the various boards and seeing the needs come up and watching the people who will never get any credit just respond over and over to the needs of this church. This is a generous church. Now, where we come into some issues is we mix up frugality, which is a good word, with another word. Yeah, someone's heard me before. Stinginess, that's the other word. When you're frugal, it means you share, you spend, you give, you distribute in a manner that will demonstrate sound judgment to the giver and to the receiver. But when you're stingy, you see a need, you know there's a need, you have the means to fill the need, but somehow you refuse to sympathize or associate with the need at all when you can help fill the need. Well, I'm telling you this, you want to make sure young people that are still left in here do not hook up with a stingy person. Now, there is a difference. Now, all kids think their parents are stingy. Okay. That's a difference, all right? You'll learn differently when you get grown and have to work for your own money. You'll understand your parents are not stingy as you thought. But I'm talking about, I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real stingy. Stingy people make very difficult mates because they share their love and affection with as much difficulty as they share their money. And they kill love. Now, you'll have to sort that out. So what does this have to do with the text? Jesus could have easily, now, I said it in the first service, I still feel the same about it now. I wouldn't have healed all 10 of the lepers. I would have healed just one, the one that came back with the good attitude. But that's not how God did it. He healed all 10. Now, you know, you just like some of you, just like me, you know you wouldn't have healed all 10. Well, you don't have to see, you don't have to go, but you know it's true for some of you. You wouldn't have healed all 10, but that's not how God does it. He healed all 10. But one came back with a spirit of love and appreciation. Being generous means to give or exchange with a free spirit of no strings attached. Generosity builds love. Oh, one of the things we just miss in relationships is appreciation and compliments. And I want to thank someone here without even calling their name here in this church who did something very special for me this week. Didn't have to do it. I want to thank that person for that. That person's probably not even here to say it, but something very special with just a few words that meant a whole lot. Thank you. Words of appreciation and compliments mean so much. As I close, one thing that I hear from, and you'll probably hear it if you talk to one of the couples that have been married a long time, they will tell you that their mate is their best friend. I would say that's the case in my life. It's probably the case in many of your lives who have mates. And if my mate is my best friend, then what is Jesus? What is Jesus? He is so much more. In fact, Proverbs 18:24 says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In fact, John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, than that he would lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus is not just generous. Jesus is good. And if you are best friends with your mate, then you need Jesus, who is so much more. Oh, I couldn't make it without him. As much as I love my mate, I could not make it without Jesus. You know, the fourth way of dealing with people that was left out of this gentleman's list, I'm going to talk about that next week as I just have to end this series just because I just need to move on. I haven't even begun to talk about the subject. I could go through the year out and not repeat myself, but I need to move on to other things. But I want to talk about next week the most important right choice that there is. It is the most difficult. It is what the devil challenges us on of all of the things. And I'm going to talk about that next week. The next right choice is not only having a friendly disposition, have the phileo love and being generous, and God is generous, but the one that troubles us the most is the spirit of forgiveness. It's where God's people struggle the most. And I'm going to talk about that next week and to cap it off and give us what we really need, the spirit of forgiveness. You know, I couldn't have made it in ministry for 35 years without the spirit of forgiveness. Could not have made it. Couldn't have made it. 1 year. You have people talking about being in ministry? Check them out for the long haul. See if they forgive 15 years into it. 20 years into it. 25 years. 30 years. Can they make it? All the stuff's been hurdled at. Can you make it? Not by yourself. You have to have the spirit of forgiveness, or you couldn't make it the next Sabbath. And the saints, you're no different. You couldn't walk in these doors next Sabbath if you didn't have the spirit of forgiveness. The devil would make sure he'd find something to stop you from coming in here. There's somebody that wouldn't shake your hand that should have shaken your hand. You know how he does that. And you'll carry that all week long when they don't even know anything about it. Come on, am I right? This is what the devil does. I'm not buying it. And I haven't bought into it, and I'm not. You have to have the spirit of forgiveness. And you really have to have it if you're sleeping next to somebody who's your spouse. Oh, am I right? Oh, let me stop. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. What a wonderful God you are. Generous and loving. And not only that, you save. Oh, how you saved your people from their sins. And Lord, if we want what is truly right, we would choose you. Just like the leper, the one that came back, Lord, we come back to you. And we say thank you in appreciation and in love, in brotherly love toward you and toward one another and toward our mates and toward our family and toward our church family. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You were patient today.